Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Border to Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock.
Wendy's Big Show.
Showtime, baby. Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler.
Big Show served up hot and fresh. He's Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Lloyd Butler with the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. Dan Plucker, executive producer, still to come on today's show. Greg Bedard, formerly of Sports Illustrated, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, went off and started his own website a few years ago. And we will be having him on. And the website that he's running now, it's just a great deal. BostonSportsJournal.com. He's got a very talented staff of writers out there covering Boston sports in New England and so forth, to get his thoughts on what happened to those Patriots over the weekend. Also get his thoughts on the NFL playoffs at this point. Get his thoughts on McCarthy. He knows Mike McCarthy, Gary Ellerson.
Very well.
So we'll get his thoughts on McCarthy and the job he's done in Dallas and his thoughts on Packers and Niners as well, coming up in 1/2 hour. Asking you right now, what are your first thoughts on the Packers getting the Niners this week? Right? I mean, you watch the game. You know that if the Cowboys win, you get the winner of Cardinals-Rams tonight, which now Tampa Bay will get instead. And now you play on Saturday night, which a 7:15 start, that's actually, I think, good for the Packers, Gary, because that means the sun will be set. It will be even colder for that game. That's what I wanted. You knew it was going to be Saturday because they're not going to make the winner of tonight's game play on Saturday. So you knew you were getting Saturday, which is whether I was going to be 3:30 or 7:15. 7:15 is beautiful. Like, let's get it as cold as possible for kickoff, and let it get colder throughout the night for San Francisco.
You know, can you go, or maybe I can too, on Twitter, Rob Domofsky posted the temperatures of the last four times that the Packers were in San Francisco, I believe.
In San Francisco?
Yeah.
It says, since 2014, there have been 101 different quarterbacks to start a game with kickoff temps below 40 degrees. Garoppolo is not one of them. And that same time, 122 different quarterbacks have thrown a pass with kickoff temps below 40, and Garoppolo is not one of them. The one game in that time span San Francisco played in below 40 was in 18 at Green Bay. C.J. Beathard started and lost that game 33-30. While Garoppolo spent 3 years in New England and the Pats had 13 games with kickoff temps below 40 in that time, he took only 3 snaps in those games, all kneel downs. So Domofsky from ESPN, Rob, points out that he's never played in this cold of weather.
Yeah, so he goes, the last four meetings between the Packers and 49ers, all in San Francisco, have had game time temperatures of 69, 78, 58, and 63 degrees.
But Gary, he's never played in a game under 40 in his NFL career outside of kneel downs.
Yeah.
So, like, he's never had to throw the ball in these cold attempts in his career in the NFL. He's been here for a while. So that is going to be a thing. And we start talking about game time temps, I think it's going to be in the teens by the time we get to that game coming up on Saturday
night. I think a low of 9 that
game,
I believe. What's your question real quick, Steve? I'm sorry.
First thoughts on Packers-Niners.
I'm not worried about this one. I don't know why. It's just I
this
just
is
think,
amazing.
Yeah, I just think the Packers are a better team. I do. I think our defense is really good. I think we match up well against them. I think their offense versus our defense, I think we match up well. I'm not really afraid of Debo. I think, you know, he's going to get some yards, but I think we match up well against them, what they're trying to do. And they don't – and if you ask, I don't think this is a team of 3 years ago to whenever that was in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco. I don't think this is that team. Their running backs – though Debo is pretty good, but the 3-4 running backs that they had in that game was absolutely amazing.
Hey, Jerick McKinnon, who's been hurt for like ever since he left Minnesota, whatever, he was really good.
And they don't have, you know, those guys could take it to the house right now. I don't know if they have that. Kittle's really hadn't been a factor, nope. But most certainly could be a factor against us. Always tight ends always hurts us. And their defense versus our, I just think we are better. I think our offense is better than their defense. I think Aaron Rodgers knows what he wants to do and how to manipulate things in this offense. I just don't see it. And once again, Steve, you've been talking about Super Bowl. I'm sticking to it too. I mean, it is. It's really about the Super Bowl for me and the Green Bay Packers. I just don't see the 49ers coming here and beating the Packers in the first round. This is not – who did that? Was that the Giants that came in here and beat us?
Yep, I was at the game.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
That was horrible. Wide receivers dropped so many balls in that game for Green Bay that day. That was horrible. That was coming off the year where they only had one loss against Kansas City. It was that same year.
Yep.
And everybody thought, okay, here we go. But everybody said, well, their defense is horrible.
Right.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Right.
I had a green mohawk. We took a bus full of listeners. Mm-hmm. I took one bus, and then our old morning show host, Mike mm-hmm. Wickett, took the other bus. And, one pretty. Let's go to Gerard in Delaware. You're next here on the Wendy's Big Show. First thoughts on Packers and Niners, Gerard. What's going on?
Well, they got two of their best defensive players nicked up, right? Warner and Bosa, right?
Yep. Bosa with a concussion, Warner with an ankle.
Now Bosa looked like he got his head snapped back.
Yeah, okay? His own guy ran into him. Yeah.
Right. So that could be more than just a concussion. So we don't know. But anyway, those guys are not going to be 100%. And they neutralized Bosa the first time they played him in San Francisco this year. He did nothing. Okay? I think he had one pressure or something like that. And so I feel like Gary. I feel comfortable. I don't feel like there's going to be a problem with them, especially if Green Bay gets up like 10-0, 14-0 or something like that. I don't see a problem because you want Garoppolo to throw the ball.
Right.
Okay? Because he's, you know, he'll screw it up. But another thing I want to talk about is, did you guys hear Aikman and Buck after the game?
Aikman was crying that he wanted to be at the Cowboys game and they should have been at the Cowboys game. And, yeah, I heard it.
Right, and then he goes, and then Buck jumps in and says, well, Collinsworth and Michaels are doing the game.
Correct.
And I'm going, huh, what? You know what I mean? And then during the game, which was so annoying, and I can't handle this, and that's why I like Iron Eagle – and my favorite guy is Charles Davis. He's just a gentleman.
We're working on trying to get Charles Davis, so we're there with you.
Well, and Romo, all during the game, he was screwed up. He was rooting for Dallas. It was obvious, and he kept. And I can't take the we're all Dallas fans with Dak and Zeke. Hold it now. I don't see everybody calling Aaron Rodgers Aaron and this one on the Green Bay and this one. It's ridiculous. You can't watch the game. You can't enjoy the game with a guy going off like that. I mean, it is totally. And then they come out, the pomp and circumstance stuff Dallas does. Do you know in the beginning when they were introducing the players, they had 100 cheerleaders, 50 on each side. I couldn't even believe it myself.
Yeah.
It's just nonsense. This is just, I was hoping they'd lose. And I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not worried about San Francisco. But I just can't take it anymore. I can't take the announcers anymore. Iron Eagle, I remember him when he was a kid at FAN in New York.
Yep.
I remember when he was a kid. And he's a professional guy. He knows when to get excited and he knows when not to. And Charles Davis, like I said, he's perfect.
Yep, no question. Gerard,
say what you say.
Yep, thanks for the call. So Gerard in Delaware, not worried at all about the Niners. Is that going to be the mantra this week? Is the mantra going to be this week? Sure, whatever. Come on, Green Bay, you're going to lose, and we'll move on to Tampa Bay. Because now of what's left, I feel like probably with fans, Tampa Bay is now the team that may fear this fan base a little bit more because of Brady. And as you pointed out, Buccaneers defense.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, the 49ers didn't play well.
No.
I mean, second half,
they should have won second half, more than they did.
They were horrible in the second half. Yeah. I mean, the second half of the game was sloppy. They were bad. The Cowboys were bad. And I don't know if the 49ers didn't choke it down because they got on top. They started being so creative. But they didn't look like world beaters to me. I mean, they look like if they come up in Green Bay, we can handle them. I don't fear that at all. I think you'll probably see that all over. I think a lot of people think that the 49ers match up against us. But to me, I don't think the 49ers can score enough points.
I want to see what Shanahan does when he realizes Garoppolo may not be handling the cold weather all that well.
And I think you got to do more than run the football against the Packers here.
Well, they got to prove they can stop the run early. They were sixth against the run, I think, this year, Gary, during the course of the season.
If the Packers get up, that's going to force Garoppolo and Shanahan to do something else.
Well, then they've got to actually play well in the first quarter.
Right.
Which would be something different for the Packers.
Well, if it's 0-0, I'm still okay with that.
Because the one thing the Packers have not done is jump on
teams
early. They
haven't started.
That has not been a Packer thing all year. If it was, I'd feel a lot more confident that could possibly happen. First thoughts, Packer fans, obviously we're going to talk about this game all week. First thoughts, knowing it's the Niners and Lambeau, 7:15 starts Saturday night. We'll, of course, have the Green and Gold postgame show, Gary Ellerson and myself, immediately following that one, presented to you by Lakeland University. Trav Brown Deer, you're next here on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary and Sparky. What's up, Trav?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
You know, on this historic day, I just want to say happy MLK Day.
Happy MLK
Day. You know, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not worried, you know. We just need the cold, yeah. And I think we beat them good, you know. Hey, we're going
to championship game. What's going on with you people? Stop swearing on the radio! Stop! I mean, I can't even get mad at Travis. Travis does all the time.
Right. You got to know what's coming with Travis, Steve.
Oh, man, my guys in Philly doing it. They don't do it. That's twice in one show now. Come on,
Steve,
stop.
You know, it's Trav, you can have your hand on the button with Travis. Steve. Trav, we sorry,
ready.
Man.
Right,
but, Trav,
there,
you got to do better, man. Got to do better. And, you know, we don't get Trav on as much as we used to.
In this time slot.
Yeah. Right. So I'm a little, you know, I miss him. So just be careful, Trav, next time you call. Just try to clean it up.
We'll get to a certain point. I'm just going to stop taking calls.
No, we got it.
I just
you know, here's the thing, Steve, and not everybody get this. Our show is a very passionate show.
Oh, I get
people
it.
People get passion.
Yeah.
They get passionate. And I fault you.
But neither one of those two.
I blame you,
I don't
Steve.
Think either one of those two were all that passionate. They were just talking and it slipped.
Because it's just.
It just slipped.
Well, it does because it's passionate, and then you think you're at the bar.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
You know, you think you were just with some guys.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Fine. Buddies.
Yeah, all right.
We're talking.
Sure, yeah.
We're up at the smoke shop. Boy, jeez. I really wanted to go to the smoke shop.
Long time for you, I bet.
Yeah, man. Jen goes, what do you want to do? I says, well, it'd be great if we could just go to the smoke shop. And then she started to cough, and I go, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you're done. That's not happening. Sorry, Gary. Tony in Sussex, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show. First thoughts on Packers Niners, Tony.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, hi, guys.
Tony.
You know, I just hope we can stop it.
Stop what, Tony? You cut out.
I said Samuel scares me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And the running game scares me. I just don't feel as confident that we stop that game. But I don't want to get to a shootout with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know Garoppolo can't beat us, but their run game could beat us because they've done it before. Different now. But this Samuels guy, he's on another planet. He's so good.
Yeah, it appears he is the guy for that team. Thanks for the call, Tony. Can you game plan essentially around a player, not a quarterback? And the aspect,
what you're doing.
I'm trying to think of another wide receiver that is doing what Debo is doing right now.
Stop Debo.
As far as being as dangerous out of the backfield as he is as a wide receiver.
That's Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
And Percy Harvin
would be the comparison.
Minnesota.
Yeah, you're right.
That was that. But Percy had more speed.
Yes. Correct. But wasn't as physical as Debo.
He could take
the ability to
the
break
right
a tackle.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. I like Debo, but he ain't in the category with Devontae Adams.
No, he's not the receiver that Devontae Adams is, but he still causes problems on the defensive side.
I like him. They scheme well. Maybe he come in and do something. I don't know. I'm not all that. I'm just I like Debo. They do a lot of different things with him. Credit to them. Ayuk could hurt you too.
Yeah.
They could do a lot of different things with him. And you got to give Shanahan credit for being creative to try to figure out what he has with this guy. I just don't see it with Debo like everybody else.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it is a scheme thing. You got to know where he is. I mean, he's a really good football player. Did he make All Pro?
Man, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
All Pro.
Did he make All Pro?
Let's see here. Nope, that's not going to tell me. Hold on. You know, you look at these All Pros, wide receivers, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Debo Samuel.
He made it.
Yep.
Okay.
I was going to say, yes, I thought, but then, because it's All Pro, you got to think of both leagues, obviously.
Because that's not a lot of guys can make All Pro.
No. But
well, I had to take it back. I had to look. I just think the Packers can scheme Debo.
And the other thing that you have to be looking at as well is, you know, Trent Williams, who got himself out of Washington, didn't want to be there, ends up in San Francisco. He made All Pro at left tackle too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as the pass rush goes and what you're going to do, I don't know. I think you kind of, you know, you're going to have your issues trying to get around Trent Williams, obviously, but that does not mean you can't come from the other side or come up the middle necessarily.
Correct.
In this game.
Yeah.
And you've got so many guys right now that you can put on the football field at the same time. See, Dallas was good too, but Micah Parsons getting dinged up killed them.
That hurt him.
It killed him on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. Just like if Bosa can't play for the Niners this week against the Packers, that takes their best pass rusher off the field.
Mm-hmm.
That helps the Packers a tremendous. Right.
Yes.
David Bakhtiari claps his hands and goes, okay, good. I can relax a little bit. It won't be as bad. Sean and Racine.
What's up, Sean?
You're next on the Wendy's Big Show. First thoughts on Packers-Niners, Sean.
Before the thoughts on the Packers, I want to mention I saw your dad this morning over on Highway 50 in Kenosha.
Nice.
Riding around in his Sparky, obviously, Pfeiffer Agency, for shout out to him for his insurance company.
It's definitely not Sparky Pfeiffer Agency, but close.
I know, it's
close,
Steve.
Close, Sean. Yes, close. Go ahead.
Where's he driving around with?
He's got his car wrapped for his insurance agency.
He does?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Well, Steve Pfeiffer Insurance Agency or
it
whatever
does?
In Kenosha. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Why not? It's a free billboard if you drive
it
around.
It is. I didn't know
I mean,
that.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Right.
Hey. Don't.
Now I'm not paying to wrap. I'm not parking. I'm not paying to wrap Big Show Network around my 300.
Yeah, don't hate.
I'm not doing that. But I get it.
Well, you also don't own the Big Show. So.
Correct. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Go ahead, Sean.
All right, with the Niners, I'm really not that worried. They're going to have less than a week of rest. This ain't the same team that ran all over the Packers 2 years ago.
No.
The Packers are getting exactly 2 weeks off and almost everybody healthy at the exact right moment. I was shocked when I heard Merciless was coming back.
Yep.
I'm not relying on him to carry the defense. Same thing with Zadarius. But if each of them can do something and contribute, them also not having Bosa is going to be pretty big. They did pretty much neutralize him the last time someone mentioned that we played the Niners. But don't forget, I think he was just coming off an injury, so he wasn't completely healthy. This is probably going to be the perfect storm for the Packers to get through this Niners team by double digits. They don't have a lot to worry about, I don't think. As long as they play their game, the Niners won't be able to keep up offensively.
I would agree.
Well, that's the one thing. Thanks for the call.
Totally agree with
we
that.
Had earlier about a shootout. If this game gets to scoring, I'll take the Packers all day in that one.
Yeah, it's not going to be a
shootout. I just don't know if Jimmy G can keep up.
He can't.
I just saw a tweet in front of me from...
Because he's going to throw you two if he does.
Right, from last night, from Tony Maserati on Twitter, a host at the Sports Hub. Jimmy Garoppolo as an NFL starter now, Gary, is 36-15.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it raises your eyes a little bit.
But no, it doesn't, because you know what their offense is. They don't put him in trouble. He doesn't have to win the game.
Right, but if that he's going to become available, if he's becoming available this offseason so they can go to Trey Lance, they're going to get something for him.
Sure.
I mean, somebody's going to give up something to put him in. Well, let me ask you this. If Garoppolo goes wherever Garoppolo goes, is he better than, say, Jared Goff leaving the Rams offense?
I think Garoppolo's a system quarterback, and you got to figure out the perfect spot for him. I think Goff can manage the game better than Garoppolo. I think if Goff was in San Francisco, they may have a better outcome. I think Goff is a better quarterback than Garoppolo.
You think Goff is better than Garoppolo?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, Goff is a better quarterback than Garoppolo. You put Goff, let's say, Indianapolis, be perfect.
Oh, God, no. Please, no. Yes. I don't want to go through that. No,
Perfect. No. With Jonathan Taylor, that run game, that defense, absolutely.
Yeah, they need wide receiver
Garoppolo,
help in the worst way.
You don't see Goff, and I don't look at his big nose, but I don't – Goff, he doesn't really have a tendency to throw interceptions. I feel like Garoppolo does in weird situations. Now, you can pull the numbers up. There may not be
I don't know what his numbers are. I'm looking just for myself. I don't know what his interceptions are.
I don't either, but I like Goff. I mean, Goff has probably thrown the ball 20 times more than Garoppolo.
So this year, 19 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, 3,245 yards. With the Rams, if we go all the way back, 2017 with the Rams, 3,800 yards, 28 touchdowns, 7 picks. 2018 with the Rams, 4,688 yards, 32 touchdowns, 12 picks. 2019 with the Rams, 22 touchdowns, 16 picks. That was his worst year.
Yeah.
And then that's the last year with the Rams, 20-13. And now this year, 19-8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, quarterback rating wise, his worst year was 86.5 with the Rams in 2019. But those first 2 years when McVay got there, 100.5 rating, 101.1 rating. Even this year with Detroit, he had a 91.5 rating, 67%.
Yeah.
That was. This year was the highest completion percentage of his career in a season.
That's awesome.
Was in Detroit.
Yeah.
And he played better at the end of the year. Plucker, how much better was Goff at the end of the year versus the beginning of the year? I know you watched pretty much all the Lions games. So how much better was Goff at the end after kind of being in that offense for a year versus early on?
Oh, much improved. I mean, it seemed like he and Dan Campbell were kind of dancing, trying to figure out what offense would work. And they've found their groove, and he got a little bit more help at the receiver position later in the season as well from guys like St. Brown and Reynolds, who they picked up off of Tennessee as well. So towards the end of the year, he was a lot better and looking more consistent, still far from a franchise quarterback, but like, you know, a Jimmy Garoppolo type of player. The guy, like, he looked like the guy that took the Rams to the Super Bowl. Obviously, he wasn't this all elite, unbelievable type of receiver, but one that you could win with.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer along with Gary Ellerson, Dan Plucker, executive producer. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Greg Bedard, who was with Sports Illustrated for a long time. Also was with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covered the Packers, knows all about Mike McCarthy and so forth, having covered him. Get his thoughts on McCarthy, get his thoughts on what happened to the Patriots, and of course his thoughts on Packers and Niners coming up. Hey, don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small Frosty. No purchase necessary. They play today at 5. This offer is only good for 24 hours after a win, so act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show serving up hot and fresh. The Sparky Fiverr, Gary Ellerson. And you, as we get ready for Packers at 9 or 7:15 on Saturday night. Don't forget to get a better breakfast at Wendy's. Buy any breakfast sandwich and get any size drink in a Wendy's cup for free. Hot coffee, Diet Coke, vanilla frosticina, chocolate frosticina, whatever you want to drink. You get it for free when you buy a Wendy's breakfast sandwich today. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours. That obviously is the key, during breakfast hours. So, you know, if you go at night, you're not going to get that deal. You got to go while they're serving breakfast in the morning. And if you do that, you can get hooked up with a free beverage, which obviously is a beautiful thing. Wendy's Big Show broadcasting live from the Lakeland University studios with online learning and 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. Joining Gary Ellerson, myself, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Now on the Schneider Orange Hotline is Greg Bedard, founder of the Boston Sport of BostonSportsJournal.com. Follow him on Twitter at Greg A. Bedard. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Greg, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Well, I guess first we'll start with your team, and then we'll work our way to McCarthy. Patriots, Belichick, I'll be honest, all last week I was picking the Patriots because I thought Belichick would figure out a way to confuse Josh Allen and make life difficult, and Josh Allen just played out of his mind in that game.
I would not say. Did he play well? Yeah. Did the Bills basically play a perfect game on offense? Yes. Did the Patriots put up no fight because they don't have the horses, and they have executed like total crap basically since their bye week in the last 5 games? Yes. That result did not surprise me one bit. I picked the Bills 27-17 coming in. I thought that they would win rather comfortably. I was saying last week after the Dolphins game, my podcast and also on radio around here, that I thought that the chances were higher that the Patriots would get wiped off the field on Saturday night, and that's exactly what happened. They're not good enough. Josh Allen is not that good. Is he good? Yes. Has he come a long ways? Yes. He's not going to do that to the Chiefs this weekend. I can guarantee you that. This is the same guy who completed 51% of his passes against the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Jets through, I think, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 1 fumble. That's the same guy in the last month of the season. The Patriots are just terrible. They're awful on defense. Some of their key guys are nicked up. Some of them are just old. They just don't have the horses to match up with the Bills. And to me, once we got past the weather game in Buffalo, the first one, which I thought was the great equalizer for the Patriots, what they've done in the last 2 games, they haven't punted, has not surprised me one bit.
And that's the thing with Josh Allen is, can he do it again? Can he be consistent? Because I haven't seen him a lot, but I saw some of the throws that he made in that game. I think he had one rolling to the right where he threw it on a dime. I mean, he has made in this particular game some great plays. And I thought they used him better, too. I mean, I thought the game plan was simply around Josh Allen, who's I think is probably the best player on the field. And so can Buffalo or can he actually do that again? I think that he can, though, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, Gary, we'll see. I've seen a lot of this team. I've seen, Allen's whole career. You have to understand that Brian Daboll is a former Patriots assistant who knows exactly what the Patriots are trying to do on defense and is probably the best game planner against them. That play to Dawson Knox that you're talking about, to me, starts with a 3-man rush with dropping 8 3 big guys who, to let him hold on to the ball for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You have to – look, Josh Allen, I've seen, every Patriots game. I've seen a lot of his games in his career. Mm-hmm. He's become a lot better than I ever thought he was going to be. So credit to him and the Bills and Daboll and what they've surrounded him with. Mm-hmm. But these are the things that in every Josh Allen game. He's going to make 4 or 5 throws that not many other people can make in a game. Mm-hmm. If you put him under duress, if you do the right things, he will throw 2 or 3 balls to you. He didn't do that in this game because the Patriots just are terrible up front. Right. Matthew Judon, through 12 games, was arguably, you can make a case that he was NFL Defensive Player of the Year. In the last 5 games, he completely fell off a map. Didn't do anything in that game, didn't start, was part of a package. Christian Barmore, their excellent rookie, he got hurt last game. He was a shell of himself. Those 2 guys were the only guys who could generate a pass rush all season for this team. You wondered if it went away, what would happen. And the other thing with the Patriots is they traded Stephon Gilmore. you know, which you make that of what you will, but you knew, everybody knew that that left the Patriots thin at man cover corners. And then they lost Jonathan Jones, their slot guy. They had no guys who could play man coverage. The second half of the season, they played some, you know, really crappy teams when they went on a seven game run. They could play zone. And as I was telling people the whole time, this is fine. If you continue to get pressure on the quarterback, if you don't, then you're going to get picked apart. And that's what's happened over the last month of the season.
All right, let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys. Mike McCarthy, he's getting a lot of heat all over the place. I just don't understand it. The pre-snap penalties were awful. They're the most penalized team in the NFL, so I guess it shouldn't surprise you that they had a lot of penalties. To me, maybe McCarthy shares some of the blame. Dak Prescott, I mean, a lot of these guys didn't show up either.
Yeah, I just, you know, I have a lot of respect for Mike. A lot of his warts that have showed up in Dallas are some of my criticisms from when he was in Green Bay. I just think he has too much belief in his own system, how he does things. He thinks it's proven. You know, he has the Super Bowl title that he can flash, you know, which is all well and good. But I don't think he runs a tight enough ship. You know, the penalties are absolutely on Mike. Some of the decisions in that game, you know, the fake punt, and then what happened after that was just a complete disaster.
Awful.
What happened on the final snap, you know, he could say whatever he wants, but, you know, most NFL coaches coach that, you know, you can't get off a play and clock the ball in less than 18 seconds. And for them to try to do that there and not execute it properly, you know, goes to coaching. And so I think that Mike was part of the problem here. Obviously, Dak did not play well at times in this game. But I think that is a talented team that needed a tighter ship, and Mike just does not run that.
So if he loses his gig in Dallas, is he going to get another job after this one?
I can't see it. I don't know how that can happen. I mean, if he loses his job, what is that, 2 years?
Yep.
And, you know, and people will look at this as a talented rod. I don't see how that happens. I mean, he's at least going to have to go somewhere and be a successful offensive coordinator for a while to get another shot. I mean, I would be shocked if the Cowboys moved on from him just because, look at how long the Joneses sat by Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
You know, and he did have a really good record. But, you know, part of the things that are going to make things interesting here is that, you know, Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore are very hot candidates. It looks like Dan Quinn, from the rumors around the league, is the favorite in Denver. The Cowboys love both of those guys. They sort of did. Jason Garrett was in similar fashion, and he was named like assistant head coach, and back before he was Cowboys coach. So, because of those two guys being very hot candidates, I could see, you know, something could happen there in Dallas.
Well, so this is what I'm puzzled about then there in Dallas. So, is it Mike McCarthy's offense? Is it Kellen Moore's offense? Who's calling the plays? I mean, all that is kind of weird to me how that's working in Dallas. In Green Bay, you knew what it was. It was Mike. But I just don't know what to make of who's doing what there.
As far as I know, it's, you know, I think it's a blend of Moore and McCarthy's offense, but Moore's clearly calling the plays. But, you know, look, Mike's the head guy at the end of the day.
So then it goes back to Greg. Then that last play, did Mike call that play or did Kellen Moore call that play?
Oh, it's got to be the head coach. The head coach has to make the decision there. I'm like, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to win the game. This is how we're going to execute it. It's, you know, it's on him. You know, Mike gives the directive to Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, you know, discusses it with Dak, and then, you know, it's on him to execute it. But it's that situation, it's the head coach.
All right, 49ers-Packers, what's your first initial thought on that matchup?
Well, I like that the Packers, you know, had the bye and the rest, and I think that's good for Rodgers. You know, I think that the Niners are – I think it's going to be a very tough game. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it'll go down to the end, you know, because either way, if the 49ers get up or they're behind, it's going to become a game. The 49ers are just – they make too many – critical mistakes, whether it's Garoppolo plus, you know, some of Shanahan's decisions. I like the Packers in this spot. The 49ers are a little bit beat up. I mean, they lost, you know, Bosa. Who knows with Bosa? You know, Fred Warner was on a bum ankle at the end of that game. He didn't even get back into the game. Those are two very key guys for them. I don't love the Packers. I love Rodgers, and the 49ers have had issues in the secondary all year. The 49ers will bring it. So I look for a close game.
Talking with Greg Bedard, founder of BostonSportsJournal.com. Great website, covers all the sports out in the Boston area. Follow him on Twitter at Greg A. Bedard. How much, I mean, you've been in Green Bay, now you're out there on the East Coast too, so you're all about cold weather games and football stadiums, outdoor football stadiums like Green Bay, and then obviously the Patriots. And Rob Domofsky from ESPN put out the fact that Garoppolo, I believe, has never played in an NFL game outside of taking a couple kneel downs under 40 degrees, and they're talking about a low of like 9 on Saturday in Green Bay. How much of a believer are you in cold weather impacting NFL games?
It depends on the conditions. I look for the wind a lot. Like, you know, at Buffalo the other night was, you know, really cold, but there wasn't much wind. And, Mac Jones, I just got done watching the Patriots film. And Mac Jones is a kid from Jacksonville. He played at Alabama. He had not shown well in the colder games this season that he's been part of, but I thought he played great the other night. I mean, I think that, to me, especially coming off this Bills-Patriots game, you know, I look for, you know, youth. I think that the 49ers are a little bit older of a team. I think the cold hurts them. I think it shows off more. It slows people down. The younger you are, the better legs that you have, I think it serves you well in the cold weather. I mean, you know, Jimmy, I do worry about a little bit in the cold weather. I don't think he's the toughest guy in the world, but he'll execute. He just always makes, you know, some sort of mistake.
You know, you bring up Mac Jones, and Gary was talking about watching Jimmy Garoppolo over the weekend and thinking about, you know, if Jordan Love could just be Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, could that be good enough to maybe get this Packers team back to another Super Bowl if and when Aaron Rodgers eventually leaves? You guys are trying to replace Brady, obviously, out there in New England. And do you think, I mean, it's early, obviously, it's 1 year, but do you think Mac Jones could be good enough to get that team back?
Yes. It's been where I've been all the way back to training camp, where I said, you know, I think he's the guy. I don't know he's the guy yet because it's so early, but what I've seen over the balance of the season, considering what he's had around him, a bunch of, you know, new guys who, you know, they're probably not even, you know, a quarter of an inch into the Patriots playbook with, you know, not only a rookie quarterback, but, you know, Aguilar, you know, the two tight ends, Kendrick Bourne, all those guys were new to the offense too. And so they're going to need time to grow. I was really encouraged by Mac Jones in this game. I thought he showed well. He was one of the few players that did on that offense. And I'm inching more towards saying he's definitely the guy. I'm not quite there yet. I do think this season the Patriots, their number one plan was Garoppolo and, like, say, Mac Jones as a rookie and going with that for the first year. But I think I know they are very happy with Mac Jones internally, and they feel like he is the guy for them.
You know, Greg, going back to the Packers again, and Rodgers should be the MVP again. What was your thoughts when you heard about Arcus had to say about Rodgers and voting for the MVP?
It didn't surprise me. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Pub. He's been around a long time and meant a lot to the game of the NFL and also, you know, the media. He's been, you know, Pro Football Weekly and all that. Mm-hmm. It didn't surprise me. There's always guys, you know, whether it's Baseball Hall of Fame or what have you, there's always guys who sort of, you know, lose the perspective on, you know, what their vote means. I do not have, one of those votes. They make their decisions as far as that. To me, I go by, you know, sort of the letter of the law. And, you know, if you know, I've heard Peter King talk in the past that it's only about like on the field.
Right.
That's the only thing I consider. You know, I don't, you know, it kind of is what it is. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. It's not surprising. It happens in every sport. And, you know, you just hope it's sort of in the margin for error and those guys don't, you know, swing big awards. I mean, but to me, you know, Rodgers would have my vote this year, but, you know, Tom Brady has a very convincing argument as well, especially, you know, sort of what's gone on down there in Tampa.
What about Coach of the Year? Everybody around here obviously thinks LaFleur should be it. I've seen a lot of pull for Vrabel. Gets a lot of talk. I think Zach Taylor gets screwed in this whole thing. I don't think he gets enough pub for what he did in Cincinnati.
Well, I'll just say this. To me, it's no doubt Mike Vrabel. I mean, I just think what the Tennessee Titans have been through to be the number one seed in the AFC, I don't care what happens in the postseason. You know, I saw the Titans come into Foxborough and basically be almost within one score halfway through the fourth quarter without, you know, Henry and Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. I mean, a half a roster. And to me, he's clearly the coach of the year, did more with less. And look, Zach Taylor's a nice story. The Bengals are a nice story. You know, I just think they benefited by their division completely falling apart with COVID and injuries. None of those teams were very good at the end of the year. And so I think that kind of put it up, you sort of boosted them up. And I think at one point I was looking and they played like the 32nd ranked schedule in the league. And so, you know, to me, it's clearly Mike Vrabel. There's no debate to me.
There he is, Greg Bedard. Make sure to follow him on Twitter as well. A great follow on Twitter at Greg A. Bedard. And check out his website. He's done a great job over the years. BostonSportsJournal.com. How long have you had that thing up and going now, Greg?
We are in our fifth year.
That's awesome.
Or not. So,
yep. That's great. Good job. There he is, Greg Bedard. Follow him on Twitter, Greg A. Bedard. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. There he is, Greg Bedard. Again, BostonSportsJournal.com on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. I want to talk about his comment there about McCarthy and may not get hired again as a head coach if he loses his Dallas job. We'll talk about that next on the Wendy's Big Show.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, serving up hot and fresh. See Sparky Fiverr, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler with the day off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Dan Plucker, executive producer, other side of the glass. So right there, Greg Bedard talking about Mike McCarthy. And I just asked him, hey, man, you think he gets another head coaching job after this? He said no. Unless he goes and is an offensive coordinator, a really good offensive coordinator somewhere else for a while. But how do you, I mean, I don't know. How do you look at his system and his offense right now and say, oh, yeah, he'll come in and fix my offense with X team? I think that's a struggle, too, because obviously nobody, I don't think, in this league has more talent than they do on offense. So wherever he goes to be a coordinator next, if that's what he ends up doing, he's not going to have more offensive talent than he has right now. And it's probably the most talented offense between quarterback, wide receiver, and running back in the NFL on paper.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else can match.
Are you asking me?
Tampa Bay is probably the closest.
You asking me whether McCarthy's going to get another job after this?
No, I was just kind of rambling about what Bedard said. But what do you think?
I mean, well, I think McCarthy's problem is that I think it's and I talked about this last week. I say if anybody loses, whose job is in jeopardy? Remember I said it's McCarthy. It ain't about nobody else but him. And it just feels like he's taking all the heat from the Cowboys. He's on the grandest stage. Say what you want to say. Here's how people look at this, Steve. They're the most penalized team in the NFL.
Yep.
They had a number of penalties yesterday, pre-snap penalties. Whether you want to or not, you can say it's on the players. But they don't fault McCarthy for this team being undisciplined.
For sure.
And to me, those are – being undisciplined means that your coaching isn't tight enough where guys are not being held accountable or you're not repping enough – where guys are not focused and taking it more serious than what they really are. Something's wrong in that. You cannot win the Super Bowl by being the most penalized team in the NFL. Now, the Raiders may have done it once upon a time.
They were always undisciplined back in the day.
But that's not the norm,
right?
I should say.
Yeah, the Raiders would get the guys that everybody else didn't want, and then
and they knew that
get successful and take their chances and see what happened. And well, it worked out for Plunkett and those guys. I mean, they finished, obviously, back in the day. Some news from the Packers-Niners game. Fred Warner, linebacker, went down with an ankle injury. Tweets out, sorry for the scare yesterday, everyone. I appreciate everyone showing love and support for me and the fellas. We'll be good to go. Huge win. On to the next, says Fred Warner. So it looks like Fred Warner will be good to go for Packers and Niners Saturday, 7:15 kick at Lambeau.
Border to border, the Big Show Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.